Okay, we're back now for the third audio installment, and we have three charts to look at. One of them is we have two for gold, and we have one for the long-term bond oscillator. These are basically prototypes for what we're planning to develop as soon as we get the program straightened out and so forth. And what we're doing is we're approximating the idea of T-theory. We use two moving averages, which are one is twice the time span of the other. We actually use based on the change, percentage price change, daily or weekly or whatever it is, and the MACD just does it on the trends. But there's a lot of truth to the fact that you can get the same answer. I mean, when I finally get the computer program all worked out, he said, this is going to be materially different than what we have here. So, for example, in the prototype gold one, I can draw a whole bunch of T's in there, and I can show you what the problems are, and we can discuss all of that. You can do Mond oscillators, which we will talk about, and then we can use the breakouts in the Tocqueville gold, which is the third chart. And we'll do all of that stuff. But before we start on that one, I'll take this opportunity to say that if you're interested in collecting, you know, a lot of people like to do their own research and so forth. Robert Shuler is the professor of is a professor at Yale University, and if you do a Google search of Robert Shuler, and you'll get to his site, and then there will be a reference to an Excel spreadsheet which has all the data which I had discussed in the earlier section. And I'll give you a little rundown if you have to go that far. And that is that the conclusion after you do all the adjustments and you go to the 10-year average of the earnings and make a price-earnings ratio is that major bottoms have consistently shown to be in the price-earnings ratio to be around the 8 level. Could be 7, could be 8, could be a 9, but we call it 8, okay? And the current value, meaning current in the last couple of months, is 20. So if you make the simplistic assumption that earning, even though you're going into something that could approach a depression, that the earnings on a 10-year average are going to be pretty much where they are now. In other words, they may go down, but maybe they're going to go down, but the companies are taking steps in this, and we're going to see earnings kind of in the price earnings, the earnings capability of companies are not going to be substantially different, even though we're going into a depression, which is could be an optimistic view. But if you say that's true, okay, and you say that Shiller's 10-year adjusted PE ratio is now 20 and it has to go to 8, then you can say that the market has to go decline by a ratio of 8 divided by 20, which is 40%. And if you take his numbers are all in the last few months and so forth, if you take the Dow Jones Industrial Average as being at 10,500, and you have to go down to 0.4 times that, you're going to end up with a low in the 4,200 level. And so if that happens, which is based on history from 1871 to the present, and the good professor has done all his work right, and those sort of estimates are about right, then Nenner's going to say, see, I told you it was going to go well, or Peter Reliance believes that that's true. I believe it's true. And they're all going to end up in a big mess, and people are going to be very poor on account of the 40-year cycle that has died. Has got people with all their IRAs or SEP IRAs and stuff like that. It's all in equities. You know, they believe the prognosticators that you got to have your money in common stocks or you're crazy. Okay, and it's all going to be wiped out. It's all going to be taken care of. But that's how you do the number. It's not hard to do. If you're interested in that, you just do a Google search for Shuler, and you for Robert Shuler. Make sure you get the guy that the Robert Shuler that's at Yale, okay? And then he'll give you the option. There'll be a data, and it'll be an Excel compatible spreadsheet. You can download it, and you can do what. That's where I get the data, and it's you can manipulate that, and you can go off and play games with that. So that's I just wanted to put down, because there's, everybody wants to know how to do that stuff. They're doing experimental work on their own. Okay, so let's look at my first contention is that if you're in the gold tee, it's not that difficult, except for the part about the big correction that you had in gold. First chart we're going to do is the Tocqueville gold breakouts, which I mentioned on the Friday, Wednesday, previous Wednesday episode. And you can see that once you came out, once that correction was over, you have this peculiar tendency. You have a 55-day exponential moving average, which is in blue. And I just build these green lines, and every time you can draw a top line, it keeps breaking out, and it broke out. You can say that if you want to simplify the whole matter, is if you can't find a major correction coming in gold, the places where you want to buy are clustered around the 55-day moving average. You can put Kiltner bands around if you want to, but basically in bull markets you tend to hold the middle of the channel. 55 days is good for the stock market, so I just put 55 days in here. And you can see that if you're patient and you wait and you keep buying the things, and you will always get a breakout. But at the 55-day, you always get this breakout. Well, the breakout is always there because gold isn't lucky. It's in a big T, okay? And if you look at the compound growth rate, I mean, it's not going to get you rich, but it is pretty good, because you could have bought it under 30, and it's currently over 60. So it could have been 100% gain, which is better than the stock market. If you trade it, it's complicated. So if you maybe you want to trade some of it or something like that, but that's controlling risk. The main reason that you are following this sequence of events is to try and find out. It's not to find out if it's going up, because the big gold tee will tell you it's going up. The reason you follow this is you're looking for something that could tip you off to the fact that there's something gone wrong with a forecast. That was my contention. And so when you're looking at this sort of thing, it's true that if you want to pick up a position, maybe you could let this thing go by and look for it to come back in the problem zone, or you could hop on it and you could hop off of it. Whatever you want to do is okay. But it's basically, you can't get rich on this, but the big T over time and with a proper strategy can do very well for you. And you know, it depends on the leverage factor that you want to take into account. It is true that when you the other thing I would mention is that if you look at Tocqueville versus the gold, you will get a confidence indicator. We talked about that before, and the fact that the Tocqueville gold here is broken out now, but the GLD has not broken out. People, skeptics, will say, well, it hasn't broken out yet. Well, if you get in a leveraged gold mining stock is broken out, the gold will come up behind, so it'll break out. But if you look at the gold breaking out, you want to be careful of that, because then everybody starts to get giddy, and that's where you get into trouble when gold bugs get giddy, and they're all enthusiastic about the whole thing, because it'll quench itself on a high volume blow off, which you can see. If we go to the next chart in the gold, this is where we're using the MACD. Gerald Appel's idea of, which is very flexible. In this case, what I've done is I've taken the standard 1836-day 2-to-1 ratios, which is using the volume oscillator, and put it in, and I end up with these cash buildup phases, which you see down in the MACD, and I can draw different kinds of T's. And I run into this problem, which is a problem that you run into the stock market, is that as long as you can find a pattern that's well defined for the center post of the T, usually it's sort of a believable case. The first blue T here, it's sort of a believable case that you'll go back, and you notice that at that projected top date, how they have this volume upsurge. When I'm up to date, that you know, there's no loonies like a gold loony when you get into them, and you can see that if you ever have a market is going up and the volume just soars to a high level. You might as well, if you don't know about T's, you might as well take some profits or do something on that one. The next case shows you what the ambiguity is. If you draw the cash buildup phase that goes down into the early February low, you'll come up with a top date that's too early. If you draw a T that goes which has a downward slant, but is the red bar T, you'll go over the end. And if you split the bottom, you tend to get something that's sort of reasonable. Okay, that's the best you can do. When I build my oscillator and I go back over for 10 or 15 years, then I'll get more rules, and that's how you do that. And that will start to appear as something that's more important. But if you go to the very as far as August is concerned, August into September, the picture is pretty much clear, much, much clearer. There is a long-term cash buildup phase that starts in the December time period, which is the last big peak, and ended in the end of July. The interesting thing is that if you go back into the early summer time period, Nenner was saying that don't buy gold, I'll buy it in August, which is correct because it came down here. But then he decided he didn't want to do it, according to what I was seeing, because he'd rather go to the end of the year to look for gold. And if you look at you see what the ambiguity is, because there's two ways you can draw the T. You can take the T from the mid to early May peak and just come down with a cash build, short cash build. That gives you the current T. It's a small blue T. It says current T above it. Okay, that's going to run out at the end of October. And then, but you could take the big T, and the big T goes a long ways away. So it's really the fog of war is that you can never see into the distant future, but the very long gold T is a penetrator of fog. That's what its claim is. Okay, so if you believe that you're in a fog of war situation where you can never, the people will say, you can never see you in the backside of the bubble results, all the big T is it vaguely can see further than you can because you're extrapolating the cash buildup time through the time symmetry that I discovered in 1973, and you get an approximate case that, something's going to happen to gold that's good going into this stuff will end up going into next year. But because there's an ambiguity, you could have drawn the T smaller. You also have this other warning that the current T would end at the end of October. So, that's an alert for. It doesn't mean you don't believe the long range T. It's just that that's how you control risk. So presumably, when you if this all plays out according to the T's, what you would do is you would tend to lighten up at the end of October and then become an investor when you go back in there. Perhaps that's what he's thinking. He didn't like the pattern. Oh, the oscillators look pretty good in the MACD. You see that the oversold condition in August is approximately the same as in February, or if you go back on the charts. And don't go back too far. If you don't go back into 08, you're okay. It looks like it's perfectly sane. The big T is a perfectly sane. The one that goes well into New Year is perfectly sane. The short-term one is just a refinement to that, and that's just fine. And that's the so that's what you get out of the program. When I put this into a program, instead of using the 18 and 36-day trends. The exponential moving averages of 18 days versus 36 days for the price, I use the daily price change, and it causes it to vibrate a lot more. But the peaks and the momentum will all it, that doesn't change the way the peaks and the momentum are going to be. So it's going to look like this when we get done with it. You just have to figure out how to make the program play right, and make the charts come out pretty and so forth. So that's pretty much what you're going to get into the prototype. For the gold tees, and we'll have to deal with the split bottoms. But you can always start looking at things on a shorter term basis to find out whether that's a reality check, and then believe that the fog of war can be penetrated by the longer range tee, and make sure that everything is going okay before you buy into the long term story. Okay, so that's that little business there. And we finally get to my last topic today, which is the VUSTX with its oscillator, which is a 180 day 360 day versus 180 day, which is just 10 times longer than the volume oscillator. And that seemed to work, and we did that back in the archives, and we have this long cash buildup phase that comes, which lasts for some time, and in the top period we have the big T, the big red T, which comes from the late 08 peak down to on August of, an April low, and that T goes out into next year. Then you can make a smaller T just by taking the peak that occurred in October of 09 and draw that down, and you get this top coming. You can see that the market has is pulling back to whatever that moving average is. It's a 50-day moving average. Probably should have put down a 55-day moving average, but it's perfectly normal pullback, and then it'll get oversold. It should come back up. Maybe it's got to sag down and then come back to the longer range T top. The reason that long-term bonds are very volatile, and they have tendencies to go on crazy moves because the it's really what people are escaping to. They get frantic. They go over the bond to treasuries. But I don't think that it looks to me like the bonds are going to rest while the gold is doing the running. But you never really want to let, if you're into a gold bond mix, you don't want to go away from the bonds too much. You don't want to do it now because it's coming back to the moving average, which tends to be a support level. But even if you want to reduce it, you can reduce it, but you don't want to get rid of it because it's the other place. Because you're always more stable if you have two different ways to cover up potential problems in the equity market. So it is a high equity, since the risk is high in equities, going into the end of the year, because you have that null echo thing that says that there's a big low at the end of the year. That's also in the archives. You don't want to go into the end of the year and find out that it was a high risk zone and people are screaming bloody murder, because it may turn out that this small T isn't the right one that I've drawn in here that says coming, and basically it's just going up to a problem that's just a longer term bull market. So there's an ambiguity in that one. So you maybe say you cut it down, and the Tocqueville looks good, but it has its own little problems. So it's complicated in all respects, except you don't have to necessarily believe that it's an all or nothing affair. It's just you change the mixture a little bit, but that's about all you're talking about there. The beauty of the bonds is that this bond history going back for like easily, I have bond history that goes back for 20 years, and Sidney J. Homer has got bond history that goes back into the 1850s. So, you can set up these bond T's once we get the data worked out and so forth to learn lessons from history. But I don't think that basically what I got here is for the gold and the bonds is basically what's likely to come out of the whole deal. So that pretty well summarizes it. Until we get the other stuff, that's what we got. So that's my presentation today. I hope that what you find there is to be useful. I do think that the keeping the big picture in mind is what you want to do, and trying to stay away from any of these smaller tops where the risk is higher, but kind of gravitate over to the places the 40-year cycle says is the place to go. It's probably, and you can do it smoothly. You don't have to do it all at one day, or 1 year, something like that. You can sort of get gravitated over to that. You find out that would be a helpful way to go for the longer term. So that's it. Now, of course, we've got this problem with a short-term picture, and that's going to be settled out. We'll do a Wednesday update. At least next Wednesday, I'll have 2 days of data to look at instead of the week shortened time when we didn't have much to go by. And I would also just pass on the fact that the bonds are low. VST is down, approaching its support at the 50-day moving average. Is that if you get a selling climax, this is going to come up. Okay, because this almost always is an inverse relationship. So, the more you get, the market should go into a selling climax next week, sometime next week, at the earliest the following week. But, if you get this thing to pop up, maybe it is a high. And it'd be interesting to see what gold does, because gold goes ambidextrous and so forth. And so that, but this is good background for once we get into the technical update, where all we're just going to do is watch the numbers for the selling climax. That's about all we're planning to do on that point. And I would also say that the big picture is overrides any of this short term. It's a high risk zone. You're in a high risk zone, so you get too caught up in the equity market, unless the conditions are just what you want. You know, it's if you get, find the right entry point, you're okay. But if you're short term oriented and you get the right entry point, you're okay. But he says, other than that, I I'm not that I'm not that interested in doing that. I just say, go let it go, and find something next week, and maybe we'll see that. The other thing that we are probably going to end up at some point not doing the technical update on Wednesday in any great amount of detail. I'm going to start posting my new tutorial arguments, which I discussed as an introduction today, where I'm going to start to develop some of these 40-year cycle ideas as profitability by being able to show long-term trends in gold, bonds, and equities, and sort of identify them to make it clearer when you go through history how you can jump from one place to another. And I'll start making use of the Wednesday update process to post some of this new way of doing the tutorials. That's it for Sunday. See you at the T-Theory Foundation update on Wednesday. As long as the computers don't go down. And we'll be back here next Sunday. Bye-bye.